Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Shkalim, daf Yates. We are in Yudches Amud Aleph, and we just started the Mishnah yesterday, the Mishnah in the middle of the Amud, and we're talking about 13 pushkas. In the base of Mikdash, there were 13 pushkas. We'll learn later this morning that they were formed. They made a circle. The pushkas were in a circle formation, but that we'll discuss later on this morning. Right now, we're just going to identify the pushkas. What are they? So the Mishnah taught us we went through the Mishnah quickly. We're going to start the Mishnah again. There are 13 pushkas in the base of Mikdash. Again, we already went over this, just to review. They're called a shofar because, the Gemara said earlier in the Masechta, because of the shape. The shape of the pushka was narrow on the top, wide on the bottom. The Ramayim, people who needed a couple of loose change, a loose dollar, so they would reach their hand into the pushka and they would take it out. The shape of the shofar was such that the Ramayim were not going to put their hand in. In the meantime, the Mishnah says, Shlosha Asar Shofar Zayi B'Mikdash, the cost of a lame, and this is what was written on them, obviously, which means that they are used, the money that was placed in there was used for, number one, Tikkun HaChatatin. New Shekel, right? Aramaic, the Aramaic language was used to be written on every one of them. So the first one, Tikkun HaChatatin, new Shekel, so that means that if you're bringing for this year, for your obligation, for this year, so you're taking from the Pushka called Tikkun, you're taking from. You're putting into the Pushka Tikkun HaChatatin. Two, Tikkun HaTikin, last year Shekel. You are, you're delayed, you're late. You didn't bring in last year, so what do? So you bring in last year's this year. But you can't use last year's money to apply to this year's operating. Remember, we've said this from the beginning of the Masechta. Operating monies from this year have to come from this year's money, so there's another pushka. Tikkun HaTikin, anyone who's late, anyone who is who owes back pay, so has to put the money into the pushka called Tikkun HaTikin. Kinim, then there are the next two pushkas. Next two pushkas were for birds. Meaning that if you wanted to bring a carbon of a bird, so you put in one of the next two pushkas. Now, the Mishnah is going to have a machlokas tanayim, what exactly the purpose of these two pushkas were. So first we're just going to name them, and later in the Mishnah we're going to talk about the machlokas tanayim. So the next two are kinim begoz le'ola. Number three is kinim, which literally means the nest. So that's for the birds, meaning literally, for the birds, for the purchase of birds, and goes le'ola, also goes alos. Another term used. In the world of birds, only two birds are kasher l'karban. Numerous numbers of birds are kasher l'achila. The Torah only lists 24 birds which are not allowed to eat. The rest of the birds in the world you are allowed to eat. But in terms of a karban, only two types of karban is allowed to be eaten. So the Torah and the Ben Yonah. So the... we have two chests, the numbers 3 and 4, they're both for birds, and later we'll discuss what the difference is between these two. Eitzim, there's another pushka for Eitzim, meaning as a person says, I'm going to donate wood to the Beis HaMikdash, right? We talked earlier in the Masechta about the special families who brought wood to the Beis HaMikdash when wood was at a premium. And so if somebody made a nedava of bringing wood to the Beis HaMikdash, I'm going to bring a wood as carbon. So wood can be a carbon. Well, wood, I know, is fuel to burn the carbonos, but we'll learn later this morning, wood itself can actually serve as a carbon. And so therefore, if a person dedicates himself to bringing wood, so he can just put money in the pushka called Eitzim. Livona, there's another pushka. Now, the other pushka is called Livona, where you're going to take frankincense and bring it up onto the Mizbech. Now, usually, Livona comes in conjunction with a carbon mincha. Okay, but if you simply say, I want to bring Livona by itself, so you don't have to actually get the Livona. I don't know where to find it. Don't worry. You don't have to worry about it. Just take the money and put in the pushka called Livona. And Zahav Lakaparas, and then there's another pushka. We're up to number 7. The 7th pushka is gold. In other words, if I dedicated gold to the Beis HaMikdash, I want to bring gold to the Beis HaMikdash, so I have a pushka where it's entitled Zahav Lakaparas. Now, Shisha L'Nadava. Now, that's 7. What about the other 6? So the other 6 are L'Nadava. So as I mentioned yesterday, we'll talk more later this morning, why 6 for Nadava? First of all, what's Nadava? Nadava, as we've discussed already a number of times, Ketz HaMizbeach. Slow season, the Beis HaMikdash, when there's not a lot of activity on the Mizbeach. People aren't there in Yerushalayim. It's the summer, it's hot, people are home. It's between Pesach, Shavuos, and Rosh Hashanah, whatever. It's slow. It's a slow season, the Beis HaMikdash. So the Beis HaMikdash would dip into the fund of Nadava, purchase carbonos, carbon olas with that money, and use that money for the carbon adava. So they had six pushkas for this purpose. Why the number six? The Gemara later on will discuss. Okay, and now that we named all 13 of them, so now the Mishnah is going to go back, and the Mishnah is going to give us a little more detail. Number one, tikkun chatzin shebechoshan v'shana. Okay, that's the easy one. Okay, that's this year's shekel money. Two, atikim mishlo hevi yishtake shakel l'shana haba'a. So the one who didn't bring last year, so he's going to remit last year's payment this year, but he's not going to put in tikkun chatzin. He's going to put it in the second pushka of tikkun atikin. Next, three and four. So three and four, as we already identified, they're for the birds. So kinim hein tarn v'goz olayim b'nayona. Kulan olos div Rabbi Yehuda. So shita number one in the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that, look, they're both going to be nedava. Olos nedava. Now from the birds, as I mentioned, only two types of birds can be brought as a carbon. Only the tor and only the benyona. And even after that, birds also are very limited. In what way? Bird is either going to be brought as an ola or as a chatas. That's it. No bird comes as a shlamim, as a toda, as a... In other words, it's only an ola or a chatas. So the Mishnah says that the according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the money that are put in pushkas number 3 and 4, the only distinction between them is the type of bird. Meaning, when a person makes it in a dove and he says, "I want to bring a bird," and he's specific and he says, "I want to bring a tor," so he's got to bring a tor. If he says a benyona, he's got to bring a benyona. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's the only distinction between pushka number 3 and number 4. Number 3 is for the tor, number 4 is for the benyona. So, if a person made a commitment, he says, "I want to bring money for a tor," he'll put in pushka number 3. If he says, "I want to bring money for a benyona," put in pushka number 4. What if he has to bring a bird chatas? Like, for example, a woman who just gave birth, or a chote who doesn't have enough money, or a mitzvah who doesn't have enough money. So under certain circumstances, a bird is brought as a carbon chatas. According to Rav Yehuda, fine, obviously he'll bring it, but not via the pushkas. He's going to have to actually bring the birds themselves and bring the birds as a chatas, but the pushka is not going to be the means in which he's going to bring it. That's all according to Rav Yehuda. V'chachamim omrim, kinem echad chatas v'echal olam. Goes le'ola, kulan olos. And the Chachamim disagree. No. The distinction between 3 and 4 is not the type of bird. No, that's nothing to do with it. It has to do with whether you volunteer to bring birds or you're obligated to bring birds. If you volunteer to bring birds, so you put it in the first one, in kinim. Kinim are for those people who are obligated to bring a bird, a pair of birds. By the way, birds always come in a pair. Meaning, if you're obligated, so it's going to be one lechatas and one leola. So if you're obligated to, and that's why it's called kinim, because it's a pair of birds. So so if I'm obligated to bring a bird, so then I have to put it in pushka number 3. That's the kinim pushka. If I volunteer to bring birds, so then I pushka number 4. So that's according to the Chachamim. So we have a machlokas in the Mishnah between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. What exactly is the difference between pushka number 3 and pushka number 4? And now we are describing pushka number 5. Pushka number 5 is we identified what's for eitzim. It's for wood. So the person who says, "I'm going to commit myself to bring wood to the Beis HaMikdash," so now it's to put money in pushka number 5. How much money? Or let me better articulate the question. How much money for how much wood? Meaning how much is he on the hook for? So minimum shnei gizra eitzim. So two logs. Okay, like in our fireplaces, right? You put a log in. You buy the log. So in the Beis HaMikdash, so they had logs. The logs were shaped in a square. We'll talk actually more about the logs later this morning. So if you say that you are going to bring eitzim and you just simply said the word eitzim, so you're on the hook for two logs to be brought on the mizbeach. What if you just said the word eitz, not eitzim? Interestingly enough, the Gemara is going to talk about that later. Lavona leivchos mikamet. Now, what about lavona? You say, "I want to bring lavona to the Beis HaMikdash." And again, you're not going to actually bring the lavona. You're going to pay for the lavona that you committed yourself to. How much lavona do you need to pay for? So a kamet's a fistful of lavona. Whose fist? Okay, Gemara is going to discuss. Zahav leivchos midina zahav. Now, if you say zahav, so gold, so you have to bring a dinar. A minimum of a dinar of gold. Shishul and Adav and Adav Maha you osim baluch and ba'ol sabasla shame va'orsa kohanim. So in terms of the last six pushkas, what's happening with them? Olas and Adav. of voluntary ola offerings. And what happens? Like any ola, the meat goes on the mizbeach. The meat's totally burned on the mizbeach, but before the meat of the animals burned on top of the mizbeach, the hide is removed and the hide is given to the kohanim. So they're going to be basically two beneficiaries of a carbon ola. Number one is the mizbeach, who's going to be receiving most of the animal, the meat, pretty much everything but the hide. And the hide itself goes to the kohanim, so that every time a kohen is involved in the bringing of an ola, so it's a new pair of shoes and a handbag for the missus. Midrash darash Yehoyada kohen gadol, and this is a drasha of Yehoyada kohen gadol. So the he quotes a pasuk in Chumash, and he darshens. The pasuk says Asham la Hashem. The pasuk says that it's an Asham and it's a Asham to Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're going to discuss this later. Are we going to discuss this drasha later? I think so. Okay, we'll come back later to discuss this this pasuk and the drasha. Yeah. Okay. Good. All right. So moving on. Zaklau kol shu ba mishem chatz mishem hashama yilakech behem olos abasal l'shem va'aros kohanim. Oh, and I'm sorry. The Mishnah discusses the drasha. All right. I thought it's coming up later on. All right. Anyway, this way, in other words, we're allowed to satisfy two pesukim. So one pasuk we just quoted. The pasuk we just quoted is Hashem Hashem la Hashem, meaning what happens to a carbon Hashem? It goes to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, mind you, by the way, that the carbon Hashem, meaning the carbon Hashem itself, we know exactly what happens. Carbon Hashem, like a carbon chatas, brought on the mizbeach, but not the meat of the animal, only the imurim, only the insides of the animal, and the meat itself is eaten by the kohanim. That's not what we're describing over here. What we're describing is that if I have any surplus money, meaning after having purchased my carbon ashram, let's say there's surplus money left over. Most are. So what happens to the surplus money? I take the money and I use it to buy an ola. Ola's nadava. So one pasuk says that with the surplus money of the carbon ashram, it's la Hashem, it goes to God. Good. Meaning it's an ola. Nimzu shnei ksuvim kayamim Hashem l'Hashem Hashem l'Hashem v'Hashem l'Kohen v'Omer kesef Hashem v'kesef chatos lo yivah beis Hashem l'Kohenim yiyu. On the other hand, we have another pasuk, and the pasuk is in Malachim. Now it's interesting, the Malachim, meaning it's Navi. So, right, you don't find normally that the Gemara has to be Miyashev, a discrepancy between pesukim where one pasuk's in Chumash and the other pasuk's in Navi. But here, it's a pretty blatant discrepancy, where the pasuk in Malachim says that the kesef Hashem and the kesef chatas doesn't go to Hashem, but rather goes to the kohanim. So that's right, hard to understand. Meaning the pasuk in Chumash says that it goes to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The pasuk in Malachim says it goes to the kohanim. The resolution is olas nedava. Olas nedava. Once you take the surplus money of your Hashem, and by the way, it's true by chatas as well. And it's true by other carbonas as well. We'll talk about that later this morning. So if I have any surplus money, so once I buy Olas Nedava, so I check off both Pesukim. Meaning, it's Hashem Hashem La Hashem, it goes to Kadosh Baruch Hu, sure. Because most of the carbonola goes on the Mizbeach. And then the part that says that it's the Pasuk in Malachim that says, no, it doesn't go Lo Yuvah Beis Hashem, but rather Lo Kohanim, that's talking about the Oros, it's talking about the Hides. Adkan, that's the end of the Mishnah Tanya. Rav Yehuda lo ayu shofar shokin b'Yerushalayim mimnei ha'taravos. Rav Yehuda obviously disagrees with the Chachamim in our Mishnah. Rav Yehuda says that there is no pushka for a chayve, for birds which are not a nedava but rather a chiyuv. Okay, so and Rav Yehuda says no, I don't want it. And why don't I want it? So the Braisa explains. There was no shofar of kina, meaning not voluntary birds, but rather obligatory birds, because mimnei tarovis shema tamos achas v'nimtzu demei chatos mesos moravos behem. The problem is the following. Let's say we did have a pushka, and the pushka was for people who are obligated to bring a pair of birds. One is a chatos, one is an ola. Okay. So again, what do they do? They don't handle birds. All they do is they take money, they put in the pushka, and good. The Kohanim later that day will look at the money, take the money out, and purchase. Take your money and purchase one bird for an ola, one bird for a chatas, and offer it on the mizbeach. And that satisfies your obligation. Here's the problem. The problem is that when money was deposited in this pushka, if money were deposited in the pushka, And if the person who deposited the money happened to have died, so now that money which was earmarked for a carbon chatas is now ownerless. Now what do we say? And we say this regarding the animal, but the same thing is true regarding the money, is that this is one of the chatas amesos. This is halach l'moshe mi-Sinai, that this money cannot be used to purchase a carbon chatas, but rather yoli cham liyam ha-melech. It has to be taken out and destroyed. So essentially now the problem becomes, says Rabbi Yehuda, is that if we had a pushka for obligatory bird olas and bird chatases, so then what inevitably may happen is that the owner of the donation may die, and I'll have Isser and Heter mixed up together. Okay. The Gemara does not address the issue of maybe we could say Bittel. The Gemara does not address that issue. Okay, the,
Since korban has to be offered as lishma, right? How does the coin establish a link between that coin and the box of whoever offered it? How do they decide this is...
In other words, the lishma is just simply whoever needs it. Meaning, I understand it's for a chatas, you generally speaking need the owner's name in mind.
They have to recognize who this is on behalf.
Correct.
So how do they establish the coin out?
By birds, I don't know by birds if you need that kind of connection. That where you need to know exactly who is the donor. I mean, based on the system that we just described in our Mishnah, you don't even know who it is. It's just simply you know that somebody needs a kapar and you're gonna give it.
In terms of the carbon chatas, isn't there the principle of chazaka play that since the guy was alive, he should...
All right, so good. Hold that question. That question will be addressed by the Gemara itself. Okay, so
you're making comment that the money was wrapped up for the birds. Each one was wrapped up.
Yeah.
And we know whose money it was.
Oh, and it was labeled?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I say. So then if the clues are...
All right, so just one second. Hold on a second. Again, the Gemara is going to address the problem of why are we even worried someone's going to die. Let's not worry someone's going to die. Let's assume everyone's going to make it to the end of today. All right, how many weeks we're going to live, how many years we're going to live, so that we only know. But to the end of the day, okay, right, most people make it to the end of the day. So we'll call that a chazaka. Those are all good points. They're not good points. They're excellent points. The Gemara is going to discuss it. But in the meantime, however, this is the problem Rav Yehuda is addressing. Rav Yehuda says that once I have a pushka for not nedava but rather chova, so then what's going to end up happening maybe is that somebody's going to die, and you're going to have Isser and Heter mixed up together. Why no bittel? Good question.
He doesn't hold by bittel, though, right?
Min b'mino. He doesn't hold by bittel. Maybe this is a case of min b'mino. Okay, good. All right, it needs an answer. Meaning, and I'm not going to provide it right now, but it needs one. So mevia demekain aisha shamar harei alaikain. All right, vahatanya. Sorry, last two lines on Yudches Amud Aleph. But we learned in the brace aisha shamra harei alaikain mevia demekain v'nosa b'shofar. So a woman who says harei alaikain, and now harei alai usually sounds like it's a neder, it's a nedava. She's volunteering. But in the context of this discussion, no, she's not volunteering. She's obligated to bring a pair of birds. So mevia demekain v'nosa b'shofar. So she brings in, she puts in the shofar. Ve'ochels b'kachim ve'eino cheshesh Hashem nisatzal behem ve'eino kohen choshesh shema demechatos mesos moravas behem. So here the Braisa says it all works, meaning she can be rest assured that the kohanim by the end of today will have taken care of it. Right, Kohanim's reason. We have a general assumption regarding Kohanim. You give them a job to do, they get the job done. So you put the money in the pushka, so the Kohanim, by the end of the day, will have taken that money, converted into birds, and have bought the birds on her behalf. And that's from her perspective. And from the Kohen's perspective, the Braisa says, don't worry, she's not going to die. Meaning, Kohen, don't have a thought in your mind that maybe the money that I'm used to buy an ol and a chatas, maybe the person who donated that money is dead. And now I'm bringing a chatos and mesos onto the Beis HaMikdash, onto the Mizbeach. Don't worry about that. Not a concern. Atkan divrei HaBraisa. Now it's interesting. What I could have said easily is that, okay, the Braisa is reflecting the view of the Chachamim. And Rav Yehuda would disagree. I'm not sure why, but the Gemara assumes that Rav Yehuda agrees with this Braisa as well. And I'm not clear why the Gemara knows that, but you'll see. That's the assumption the Gemara is based on. So ki kamrina b'chato shemesa ba'aleim vaday. So the Gemara says, even Rav Yehuda, and this will resolve now some of the issues we raised earlier, Even Rav Yehuda's not worried somebody's going to die. Meaning, no, you're right. That if in the event somebody dies is not something that Rav Yehuda will project. People make it to the end of today. That's an assumption. That's a fair assumption. And even Rav Yehuda will agree to that. The problem will be, is that not what if somebody dies, but what if we know somebody's dead. In other words, so of all the people who gave into the Pushka, so now we know for a fact that one of them died. So Rav Yehuda says, that's why I don't have a Pushka for obligatory birds. Not because I'm worried, but because if in the event somebody actually died, so then it will become an unresolvable situation. Now the Amrinan, the Gemara says, so unresolvable, what's the big deal? Never dalad zuziv v'nishtei b'nara. In other words, if you know somebody died, one of the donors of the money, so take out 4 zuzim. Apparently 4 zuzim is how much it costs to buy a pair of birds. So take out 4 zuzim from the pushka and throw it away. Now we don't know who gave which money. So over here, what are we going to use? What concept are we going to use? We're going to use the concept of Brera. Hover Hadavar, we're going to say now that the money that we took out retroactively belongs to the woman who died. Isn't that going to work? The Gemara says, well, that's exactly why it's Rav Yehuda who says it's not going to work. Because Rav Yehuda consistently says throughout Shas, it does not hold to the concept of Brera. Major debate throughout all of Shas, whether we do or do not hold the Brera. Rav Yehuda is in the camp of, I don't hold the Brera. So that's why Rav Yehuda doesn't have a Pushka Lechova. Again, so now we have more clarity on the issue. Rav Yehuda's not worried somebody's going to die. No, Rav Yehuda's not choshish. Let me say he's not concerned that somebody's going to die. In fact, the first Mishnah in Yuma, which God willing we'll get to on Sunday, the first Mishnah in Yuma is going to be discussing that very issue. Do we worry about the death of people? Does that consideration take a halachic significance? So, good. But that's the first day of Yuma. Right now, we're assuming, no, people are going to make it to the end of today. And so that's not a chashash of Rav Yehuda. The problem becomes not what if somebody dies, but when somebody dies. When somebody dies, Rav Yehuda says, now you've entered into an unresolvable situation because now I have all this money. Four zuzim are now chatos mesos money, and it's mixed in with the rest. And we don't say bittul, although the Gemara does not address why. We don't say bittul, and to just simply take 4 zuzim out of the pushka and throw it into Yam HaMelech is not going to resolve it because Rav Yehuda doesn't hold the Brera. Okay, a somewhat better understanding now of the Rav Yehuda Chachamim Machlokes.
Can you argue that since the money was already in the pushka, it's assumed that the korban has been already offered, it's in the hands of the Beit HaMikdash?
No, in other words, no. The way it seems like it works is that They took the money and they applied and they actually bought with that money. Meaning the money has Kedusha and they're transferring the Kedusha of the money onto the bird. So no, it wasn't, the bird wasn't applied against the money. It sounds like the money was actually used for the purchasing of bird.
When did she put the money in the
Kedusha? In the morning.
Then we say, well, usually they don't die.
Good. So the Gemara.
No, no, no.
We know for sure she died. What does that mean?
It means that
she put the money in.
We know that she put the money in, and unfortunately she died. She died right in the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. Okay. It is a strange circumstance, but the Gemara. Okay. Agreed. In other words, he's not worried it's going to happen, but if and when it happens, so then it becomes a problem because he doesn't hold the Brera. Okay. Rabbi Yossi Bei Rav Bo Namra Ba Bar Mama Bai. He asked the following question. Right? We've seen this kind of format in the Yerushalmi earlier, where like he's asking questions. He's not asking a question. He's like asking, like, you think I'm right? Right? Is everyone agreeing with me? And he asked the following. Hare Alai 8. In our Mishnah, we are now up to Pushka number 5. Right? So we discussed 1 and 2. Well, there's nothing to discuss about 1 and 2. 1 is this year's money. 2 is last year's money. 3 and 4 are the birds. The two pushkas for birds, again, Machlokas, Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, how exactly they're assigned, how they're allocated. And now we're up to pushka number 5. Pushka number 5 was Eitzim. So a person who says, I'm obligating myself to bring Eitzim, so it's 2 logs. What if he says 8? So maybe Gezer Echad. Okay, so 1 log. Okay, everyone agree? So Amar Rav Lezer, Masisa Amar Kain. Yeah, so Rav Lezer says, yes, and not only do I agree, I'll show you Mishnah. That agrees as well. Each one of them is an individual carbon. Because the march up the Mizbeach, we're going to discuss in Yuma. in the somewhere in the Chaf region. We're going to discuss the Masechta Yuma, where each one of the Kohanim would take a portion of the carbon tamid and march it onto the Mizbeach. And Shnei Kohanim would be holding Shnei Kohanim would be holding the two logs. Two Kohanim, two logs, meaning one log per Kohen. So what does that tell you? If each one is handling one log, that one log by itself is significant, and therefore could be offered as a carbon. Carbon l'rabos is the eitzim. The pasuk says carbon l'rabos is the eitzim, meaning when a person is on the hook for wood, that wood has carbon status. Rav Yishuv Malevi Amar Ovian Amma Ba'ama Shochekes Va'akam Ba'ama Geduma. Okay, and now we speak dimensions of the log. So I know most of our heads, in fact, all of our heads, I say log for the fireplace. So we all have a picture. We all have a mental image of what log for the fireplace means. Okay, the Gemara is going to tell us, not here. Okay, not for the base of Mikdash. The base of Mikdash, the log is square in shape. It is one amma by one amma, and the thickness is an amma. Now, to be more, it's a cube. It looked like a, at least according to the Tanakh, it looked like a cube. Now, to be more exact and more specific, if you go back to Rabbi Yishuv Halevi, he says, Ovian amma ba'amma shochekes. In terms of the height of the log, it's an amma, but a wide amma, a broad amma. Now, broad amma, narrow amma, meaning what in the world are we talking about? Linear measurements are usually standard measurement. And so, right, so what, how could, you know, to get out the big amma. Now, it happens to be that we know, we've learned earlier that that was actually true. Meaning that there were three measuring sticks in the base of Mikdash. They were hung on the wall by the where they had the mural of Shushan, and the reason why there was larger measuring sticks is for the suppliers. When the suppliers supplied to the base of Mikdash, so they had to use the larger sticks. They couldn't use the smaller ones. But that's not what's going on over here. What's going on over here is that we're simply measuring the log. Shochekes, so again, it's not totally clear from the Gemara, but some of the Mefarshim say an amma made up of six tefachim. And the length and width of it was amma geduma, was an amma made up of five tefachim.
Why don't they just use tefachim to stand by that? Why, like, all this confusion of this size amma, that size?
Right. I don't have a good answer, but that's a well stated question. Anyway, the point is as follows: that when it is a cube, but it's not a perfect cube. It's going to be a little bit shorter on the length and the width. Now, Rav Chani B'Shem Rabbi Ami Kamin Tortani. Now, Rav Chani B'Shem Rabbi Ami says Kamin Tortani. It's like a leveling stick. Now, basically, again, not totally clear from the Gemara what he means. So according to some of the Mefarshim, he's talking about the height. He does not believe that the height has to be a full amma high. He believes that it can be flat. Like so, it's going. In other words, it's a not a cube but a square. It's like almost like a pancake, a thin pancake shape. Anyway. Why is it that the length and width was not a full amma? The Gemara now explains. Amar Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak lefishol ohayu makma maracha ela amma al amma. Very simple. Because if you now go to the top of the Mizbeach, not the Mizbeach built by Shlomo HaMelech for the first Beit HaMikdash, and neither for the second Beit HaMikdash. We're talking about the Mizbeach built by Moshe. The Mizbeach built by Moshe, it was transportable, it was taken through the Mishkan. It was smaller. When you finally, without going through all the dimensions, when you finally get to the top of the Mizbeach, the top area of the Mizbeach, so the amount of space left for actual burning was only one amma by one amma. There's enough space to go onto the top, space for the karnos of Mizbeach, the horns of the Mizbeach, a walkway for the coin to go around, and finally, when you get to the center, where there's actually burning going on, the area is only one amma by one amma. So, pragmatic issue. You can't take a block of wood that's one amma by one amma and use up the entire area. It's in other words, you want to give a little bit of room so that maybe the Kohen doesn't burn himself as he's walking around. Just, or maybe because of the ashes that are going to spill over. So, we want the logs to be slightly smaller than the actual area of the maracha. Okay, that's it. That's why the length and width of the block that's burnt on the top is going to be a little bit shorter. Utni Kain, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, Amma Yesod, Amma Sovev, Amma Karkov, Amma Karnos, Amma Maracha. So the Gemara over here is just simply going through the dimensions of the Mizbeach, and without getting into any great detail, just simply that we end off with an Amma on the very top, the Maracha, the actual burning area on the top of this Mizbeach is only one Amma by one Amma, therefore the log that is cut a little bit shorter. It's Amma Geduma. The word Geduma means cut. Lavona. Okay, we're up to the next Pushka in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so far we discussed Pushkas 1 and 2, Tiklin Chadetz and Tiklin Atikin. Pushka 3 and 4, the Kinim and the Goz Le'ola. Pushka number 5 is the Eitzim. And Pushka number 6 is Lavona. Lavona Le'ivchos Mekomet. So again, if you're on the hook for Lavona, I want to offer Lavona to the Beis HaMikdash. You could do that. Okay, so how much Lavona you going to bring? A fistful, says the Mishnah. Nemar kan azkar, v'nemar lahala azkara maskara, hamor lahala malo kometz, ava azkara nemar kan malo kometz. And why? Because that's the shear. Meaning when the Torah describes the amount of Lavona that goes in conjunction with a regular mincha, it says azkara, azkara over there in the context of a kometz. So too over here, if you bring Lavona by itself, it's also going to be a kometz. So ima azkara mor lahala shnei kometzin, af azkara mor kash shnei kometzin. So the Gemara says, okay, but we do have a place in the Beis HaMikdash where we have two fistfuls of Lavona, notably lechem apanim. Top of the lechem apanim. If we were to go into the Beis HaMikdash and look on the Shulchan, we would see the lechem apanim stat with 12 loaves of bread, two columns of six stacked one on top of another, and on the top of the two columns, what are we going to see? We're going to see two spoonfuls. A Lavona spoonful on one column and a Lavona spoonful on the other column. And that spoonful is going to be the amount of a komet, a fistful. So when we have the lechem apanim that's brought in the Beis HaMikdash, it's not one by two, but two. So basically the Gemara is wondering, maybe that should set the minimum standard of how much Lavona. I'm Rabbi Eli, klam lamdu la komets ella mi minchas chote. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the Torah does repeat the kometz requirement by the chote at the end of Parshas Vayikra. So the one who has to bring a carbon chatas but cannot afford a carbon chatas under certain circumstances gets to bring instead of a carbon and instead of birds, he's dalei dalos, he's poor, he's indigent. So he gets to bring a mincha, what's called the minchas chote. So there's also a requirement of a Lavona. There it has to be a kometz. And the Torah repeats that it has to be a kometz. So the Gemara says, why the repetition? To tell us that if it's chaser, if it's missing any amount, it's going to be puzzle. So the Gemara is pointing out that the two spoonfuls of Lavona that are on top of the lechem aponim, that's not one unit. The two spoonfuls are two units. Each spoon is an offering in of itself, and so therefore the Gemara says it's not going to serve as a good case study. Meaning maybe when the person says I'm on the hook for a Lavona, he doesn't have, maybe has to bring two spoonfuls because the lechem upon him. The Gemara is essentially saying no, because that's not one unit. The two spoonfuls are two separate units. I'm Rav Yossi, Milsa de Rabbi Eli, I'm Ram Isnan Dev Lavona, Meviak, become social Kohen. Now, even though we say comets, we mean a fistful, so that's not objective, it's subjective. It's based on the Kohen. Some Kohenim have big hands, some Kohenim have smaller hands. So the Gemara says that when you are on the hook for Lavona, you have to purchase enough frankincense that fits into the fist of the Kohen that's serving that day. In other words, whoever that Kohen is, and whoever is the largest of the Kohanim, so he's going to set the standard. Rabbi Chizkia, B'shem Rabbi Yirmiyah, V'afilu B'kometz Abalim. He says, no, it can even be the kometz of the one who is giving, and not the Kohen is actually offering. That's a harder position to understand, quite frankly, because as opposed to Shechitas HaKarban, which can be done by a Zar, Kemitzas HaMincha cannot be done by a Zar, it can only be done by a Kohen. So why does the hand of the one who's giving standardize the amount to be given? It's a harder position to understand, but it's out there. We go on. Zav Lo Yivchos, we're up to now the gold. Okay, this is now Pushka number 7. So Zav Lo Yivchos, I'm Rabbi Lazar, V'hushis Kitzura. The Gemara says that the Mishnah taught us that the minimum you have to give. In other words, you say, I'm going to bring gold to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm obligating myself to bring gold. So he has to bring a coin. The Mishnah says the kikar zaha. I'm sorry, dinar zaha. He has to bring one golden dinar. So the Gemara now stipulates, right, exception, and that is that that's only when he says surah. In other words, when he says I'm going to bring a minted gold. But if he doesn't say the word surah, he just simply says gold. So it can be any item of gold, even a tzinor, even a small fork. Okay, shisha lanadava. And now that took us down from Pushkas 1 through 7. And then what about the other 6? Nidava. The obvious question. 6 Pushkas for Nidava?
Why
6? Why not just have 1? Simply label Nidava, have people put money in the Pushka, and be done with it. Why 6? So the Gemara is going... Okay, so, right. It could be... No. That could be... It could be that... The Gemara is going to give a whole slew of suggestions, right, in the next 4 or 5 lines of Gemara. So, okay, in other words, there could be a number of explanations. So, Gemara, go through the Gemara's explanations. So, number 1, Chizki Amar Kineged Shishei Bate Avos. Okay, right, it's like at the end of Seder, right? Shlosha Avos, Arba Imahu Shlosha Avos. In other words, like, okay, there's 6 Bate Kahuna. Okay, so what do we know? Remember, the Kohanim were broken up into 24 Mishmaros. Each Mishmar is basically a family or a group of families assigned for, you're going to be serving the Beis HaMikdash that week. And over the course of the year, they're going to be serving basically 2 weeks a year. In every Mishmar, then there's a further subdivision. And the further subdivision is going to be the 6 days of the week. Sunday through Friday, you're going to be working in the Beis HaMikdash, or it's what's called a Beis Av. So the family is then further subdivided into 6 Bate Avos. And then Shabbos, what happens on Shabbos? They all get together, right? Family reunion on Shabbos. The Mishmar works together in conjunction with one another. But in the meantime, however, so what the Gemara now is suggesting is, look, the Beis Av, you know, there could be a little bit of fighting amongst the Beis Av, right? The Sunday's group versus Tuesday's group. Meaning, because what's Sunday going to do? Sunday's going to dip into the Pushka of Nedava and basically exhaust, because remember, every olah that they bring means a new handbag. So so they're going to take all of them. So in order to try to minimize the amount of fighting amongst the Kohanim, so there's going to be now 6 Pushkas for Nedava. Each one of them is for one of the Beis Av. So that way, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, each one of them has their Pushka in which they draw into. And how much is in there? Luck of the draw, whatever money's in there. Okay, that's one explanation. Meaning, remember, this is Nedava. This part of the operating budget is not absolutely required. Meaning, it could be that there's nothing in there, and fine.
But if there's some, like, half for, like, another half for a one carbon.
So, if there's not, so they'll wait till there's enough for a carbon. Meaning, it's only as needed, or as offered. So, Keneged Shishei Bate Avos, that's one. Bar Paja Amar, right? Am I saying it right? I have no idea. So, Keneged Shesh Behemos. Well, 6 types of animals. Meaning, remember, this is an ola. An ola could be brought from either par, eagle, seir, ayo, gedit, le. Okay, so any one of the permutations of what an animal could be for a carbon ola. So, therefore, the six pushkas represent the 6 different animals. Shmuel Amar Keneged Shisha Karbanos. Shmuel says it is Keneged the 6 karbanos. What does that mean? Meaning surplus. Remember, we talked about how if I have surplus of a chata, surplus of an asham, and we're going to label 4 other karbanas where, even though the carbon itself is obligated, but if I have extra money, surplus money, so it goes to Nedava, so the 6 are representing the 6 different karbanas where the most are is headed towards Nedava. Kani zavim, kani zavos, kani yolado. So the first 3, I know it's in parentheses, but you got to say them, otherwise we're not going to get to the number 6. So, birds of Zav, birds of Zava, birds of Yolados, that's 1, 2, and 3, Chataos, Ashamos, Hamenachos, the Asir Taifa. Okay, you got to take those 4 and truncate into 3, because we want to get to the magic number 6.
Even the birds have their own?
This is not talking about the bird itself, it's talking about the surplus money. meaning the man or the woman set aside money for the bird, but then when they went into their own private fund, they find that there was too much money. So whatever money they needed for the bird, they'll give to the bird. And then surplus, if there's any surplus, that goes to Nadava, because that money was consecrated. So what happens with that consecrated money? It goes to Nadava. So, fine. Okay, so that's the the first three opinions in terms of why six. Again, either days of the week, different types of animals, or different types of surplus. A fourth suggestion of the Gemara: Am Rav Yochanan Alidei Shehanadava Meruba Ribo La Shofras Harbe. Yesterday, I speculated that this probably, or maybe the reason why. Yes, absolutely. Birds can be brought as a nedava. But the birds that are brought as a nedava can only come as an ola.
But it would be ola offering, like the old birds
are going to go. Correct. Right, Malika, blood sprinkle on the Mizbeach, and then the bird is just sent, thrown right on top of the Mizbeach. Okay, and finally, the fourth reason of Rav Yochanan is, it's a pragmatic issue. It's just a lot of money going to Nadava. Baruch Hashem, people want to give to the Beis HaMikdash. And so you give your obligatory money, you give your machatzis a shekel, and then people want to give more money. And people want the Beis HaMikdash to be in operation all the time. So in other words, six just simply because it's meeting the demand of all the people who want to give so much money. Okay. So that's Rav Yochanan. Correct. In other words, that's why maybe what you'll say, Rav Yochanan, you'll say in conjunction with that what Phil suggested, meaning the number 13 is a, like we discussed it in other areas, right? Well, like by Hishtachavaya, by the bowing. 13 is a number. Even if there aren't 13 gates, 13 is a number. How are we going to get to that number? We'll figure out a way to get to that number. So here too, meaning maybe by the pushkas, 13 is a number. Okay, let's finish up the perek. Let's start the new perek. We are on the very bottom of Yud Ches Amud Beis. The pasuk says, "Ksiv uchachal osam evil lufnei amelach v'yoh yada Reb Shimon Menachem v'Shem Rav Yonatan Amar shtina davos asap." Yehoyada, we quoted the psukim in Malachim earlier by Yehoyada, one of the Kohanim in the Beis Hamikdash. So he darshan the pasuk, right? We quote him from Malachim Beis. So we are just going to spend a couple more minutes this morning discussing other psukim regarding Yehoyada and pushkas. I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is that one pasuk describes how he made a pushka inside the Beis Hamikdash. Excuse me. And another pasuk describes how he made the pushka outside the Beis Hamikdash. So, inside, outside, which one? So the Gemara's first explanation is there's no don't you don't have to be so creative in your interpretation. There were two. There was one inside. There was one outside. That's Rav Shimon Bar Nachman. In the name of Rav Yonasan. Shtei Nedavos Asa. He made two pushkas, one inside, one outside. Tanit Debrei Rabbi Yishmael, we're on the very top of Yutes Amad Aleph. Achas Dechsi Vayomar HaMelech. I'm sorry, Achas. Nedava Achas. No, it was one. Dechsi Vayomar HaMelech Vayesu Aaron Echad, meaning the pasuk says it's one. Vayesu Aaron Echad. Aaron over here doesn't mean Aaron, meaning like in the, you know, Aaron over here just simply means chest. They place in the heichal, and they put a hole in it so that people can put money into this pushka. What about the other pasuk in Divrei Hayamim that describes that the pushka was outside? So again, according to the first approach, not a problem. One pushka inside, one pushka outside. But according to this approach, if it's only one pushka and it wasn't heichal Hashem, so what's happening? It's being taken outside. I'm Rav Huna, Mimnei Atameyim. Rav Huna says yes. On occasion, the pushka was taken outside because you had people who were tamei who couldn't go into the Beis Hamikdash and they wanted to give money. So on occasion, it was taken outside for the tameim. Rabbi Chanin b'shem Rav Yosef achlo yaseh Beis Hashem sapos kesef mizmaros. Okay, what's happening over here? What's this pasuk over here? So I don't know. I found myself struggling at the end of the last parak where the Gemara just kind of. Where the Gemara just threw in a pasuk to end the parak, and I'm not sure what is the point of the Gemara quoting this pasuk in Malachim. Okay, Hajolach Parak Yud Gimel Shofros. That is the end now of the sixth parak of Shkalim. Where are the pushkas? So not in the Azara. Meaning I'm imagining or guessing that somewhere in Harbais. So you need a bigger picture. But even Harbias, Tamei people cannot go into Harbias. Not all tummy people, but a lot of tummy people cannot go into harvice. And yeah, and you'll just give the money to somebody else to bring in.
Why do you need to take the money
then? Yeah, so that's right. So in other words, maybe I don't know, and I don't know what the purpose of that collection box was for, right? I need to have researched a little bit more. Okay, I'm unsure. Moshe Nimtzu Ben Ashkalim. We are now starting now the seventh parak of Shkalim. Two more prakim to go. Four more days to go. Right? Today's daf is Daf Yates. We're starting right now. Actually, we're into Daf Yates. So 1, 2, 3, 4. So four more days to go. And in those 4 days, we're going to be covering now two prakim. I catch a little bit of a break on Shabbos, but just a little one. Okay. Our mission is going to be describing the following. Okay, a lot of Suffolk issues that we're going to be dealing with in this parak. And the big issue that we're going to be discussing is somebody put money in the pushka, but whatever, his aim was a little bit off. He missed the pushka, and the money landed now next to the pushka. So what do I assume? Well, the answer is going to be really simple. If the money's next to the pushka, so then take the money and put it into the pushka. Meaning, if it's close, proximity will be a determinant. Okay, that's the basic rule. It's expressed very succinctly throughout the Gemara. And in Beitza, we're going to have this discussion as well. Right in the beginning of Masechta Beitza, somewhere in the Hei Vav region. So we're going to have this idea of Karov. Proximity. Proximity is a halachic determinant.
And so,
okay, fine. I understand, but that's a big halachic decider. So that means then that if I have a coin that's near a pushka, so the assumption can be that coin comes from that pushka, and you'll pick up the coin, you put in the pushka. Now here we have 13 pushkas. Now the formation of the pushkas, as I described earlier, it's coming out of this Gemara coming up right now, is that it was in a circular formation. So in other words, almost like a clock. Now the numbers of the clock are 1 through 12. So basically add one more number. 1 through 13 now are going to be the formation of the pushkas. So, Moshe Nimtzu Ben Hashkalim L'Nedava. So the Mishnah is going to go through a whole host of examples. The point is going to get repeated again and again. And the Gemara is going to wonder why we're going to make the point so many times. But let's say I find money between Shkalim and Nedava. Shkalim Nedava, where am I right now? Meaning if I have a mental picture of the pushkas. I'm between pushkas numbers what and what?
Yeah,
okay, good. So in other words, I gave you the answer. Because once it's a circle, so it's 1 and 13. Right? I'm between 1 and 13. So Moshe Nimtzu Ben Hashkalim L'Nedava, Kavu Hashkalim, you pull Hashkalim L'Nedava, you pull L'Nedava. So whichever one it's closer to, so that's the assumption that's the one it belongs to. Mechsa la mechsa. What if it's half and half? So Yiplu L'Nedava. So then it goes to Nedava. So as the Mishnah later on will point out, that if it's half, no, Efshalat Samsem, meaning it's exactly half. Let's say yes right now. Let's not make it too complicated. So let's say it's halfway between one and the other. So I put it in Nedava, meaning when it's a suffix and Karav cannot be determinant. So now what's going to determine which one it's going to go to? Whatever one's more machmir. Whichever one's going to be more machmir. So Yipul and Nedava, so therefore, if it's a choice between Shekel and Nedava, goes towards Nedava. And we'll discuss why later on. Be'etzim l'levona karv le'etzim yipul le'etzim l'levona yipul l'levona. And here we go again. Eitzim, l'levona. Right, so now where are we? We're all over the place right now. Eitzim is pushka number
five.
So it's now between 5 and 6. So Eitzim l'levona. So yipul l'levona, mechza l'mechza yipul l'levona. So if it's half and half, goes to Lavona. Lavona is more Kedusha than Eitzim. Ben Kinim Lagos Le Ola. We're between 3 and 4. Karv Le Kinim, Yipul Le Kinim. Karv Lagos Le Ola, Yipul Lagos Le Ola. Mechza La Mechza. Yipul Lagos Le Ola goes towards Goz Le Ola. Now, unclear, by the way, this Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda?
Right, that's not the Hebrew.
Yeah, correct. Going like Rabbi Yehuda, going like the Chachamim of the previous Mishnah. And going like the Chachamim, that's hard to understand. Right, because goes they all are obligatory birds. And I'm just going to simply decide, based on a suffix that's going to go to obligatory birds. It's very difficult to understand. Ben chulin la meister sheni karv lechulin. Yipul lechulin la meister sheni. Yipul la meister sheni. Now, obviously, we're no longer in the pushkas in the Beis Hamikdash. We're now in the privacy of your own home. I have two pushkas in my house. Not pushkas, but two money depositories in my house. I have a chulin one and I have a meister sheni one, and I have a coin in between the two. So again, karov will be my first determinant, and then, if it's mechza on mechza, you pull a meiser sheni. And if it's halfway between the two, so I throw it to meiser sheni. Zehaklal. And finally, the Mishnah gives away the secret. Holchin acher hakarov lahakel. So karov is going to be a strong determinant. Even if it means it's going to go to the more lenient box, it doesn't matter. Karov is that strong a determinant. And mechza la mechza lahachmir. And if it's mechza on mechza, so we're going to be machmir. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from the Gemara. Very good.